Welcome to the Sober Podcast, part of the Soberverse, created by the team at the Sober Network. The Sober Network is engaged in revolutionizing the treatment industry by creating its own token economy. We offer fresh ideas to an industry that has relied on dated interventions. We are responsive to a new generation of substance users who are attached to their phones, so we can impact massive social change. Our unmatched technology displays solutions of our various brands, demonstrating a thorough understanding of how we get things done. We are proving that technology, along with incentivized human accountability, provides measurable and positive outcomes. Visit us at SoberNetwork.com.
Welcome to the Sober Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Brickhouse. And now for today's Sober Celebrity guest, Christina Ouyang. She joins us from Queens, New York. She works in the fashion industry. She battled opiate addiction throughout most of her adult life and has been sober since January 14th, 2020. Welcome to the Sober Podcast, Christina.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Glad to have you on. And, you know, we do these interviews around topics, and today's topic is how I survived death in sobriety, and which I know is a big part of your story. Tell our listeners a little bit about what led you to sobriety.
I think the story is not really that like uncommon. At a certain point, like my using, everything was fun in the beginning. It was something that was done recreationally. And then after a while, recreational became medicinal, and then it was something that I needed to do. And then after a while, it just became something that was like completely unmanageable in my life. You know, like my life revolved around that. And I think I got to the point where, I was in my late 20s at that point. And I think I was tired. I was running out of money. I didn't really know anything about sobriety, but I knew I just wanted to take a break. And that's kind of like what I think started planting the seed of like, I am physically dependent on this like substance and I can't stop. And the chaos of just, the hamster wheel that I was on, like every morning, waking up, going to bed, worrying about like the next thing. And it's just, I started getting tired. And at the time I was dating, I was with my fiance at the time, and
yeah.
He pretty much, he kind of planted the seed of like, hey, I think maybe going to treatment might be something that's really helpful. And so that really is just, I want to say like my segue into how I discovered or how I started flirting with the idea of like, I needed to take a break and with sobriety.
Right. In your bio, you shared some of the tragic experiences with death and grief. Can you share a little bit about those events with our listeners?
Yeah. So, I was with a partner at the time, and he was the one that really prompted me to, explore sobriety. I went to treatment. I ended up doing a 30-day treatment. And in my first year of sobriety, we were the only ones that used together. And so I had about eight and a half months sober at the time, and he overdosed and passed away. So while I got clean, I got sober, and I think, with the help of a 12-step program, I was able to get into that, but it was really hard. I mean,
how did you survive?
I think the initial loss.
How did you survive that kind of loss?
I think honestly, it was just like the people that I surrounded myself with. You know, I'm still in a 12-step program. I made sure that I had a therapist. I was surrounding myself with like friends and I had a really great support system. Mm-hmm. And I think I took it day by day. You know, every morning waking up, it was so hard. And like the pain is so, like the grief is like this indescribable weight that's like in the pit of your stomach. And I think that is really just, when I look back, did I survive the experience? Absolutely. But in the day, every day you wake up and you're like, I can't do it today. And then you're like, okay, it's like little by little, right? It's like, okay, I just need to get up and brush my teeth. After that, I'm just going to like make myself some breakfast. I'm just like, it was like one task at a time. It's just a day. It's a little bit at a time. And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me was I didn't try to say like, I need to deal with the grief now. I need to get over immediately. You know, I've even more recently, like I've had more like death and grief, like in sobriety. And I've learned enough to know, like, if I will myself to try to just get over it, it never will happen. But I just need to go, what's the next thing? Okay. I just need to keep my feet moving. Like, what's the next thing I need to do on my checklist, you know, for my day, you know, for my week. And kind of like, it's one step at a time. In the moment, you never think you're going to survive it, but I think, yeah.
And, did it when your fiance, overdosed and died, and you had to live through that grief, did it threaten your, sobriety, your recovery?
No, I think because it was, it just hit so close to home. I really just made sure I doubled down into like my 12-step program. You know, I ended up going to like more meetings. I stayed super connected. I had someone that I like therapy. Like I said, it was, I think the fear of something that, you know, I think this was the first traumatic event in sobriety that I really experienced. So I think it was just, I was in so much shock and the fear of like, this could have been me and this, you know, like, and it hit so close to home. I didn't really have like it didn't tempt me in any way. I didn't have this inkling of like, oh, that's definitely the route that I want to go, you know? But I think the emotional bottoms of feeling like this pain feels so great. I want it to go away. I think those are moments that maybe are more of like a battle in terms of like, I just don't want to feel these feelings anymore. But again, I think, you know, surrounding myself with really good people and just really, keeping myself occupied was really what kind of saved me during that time.
Two other major deaths.
Yeah. So 2 years to the date of almost, I ended up losing a best friend, who I also had met, in a 12-step program, and he had also overdosed from the same drug of choice, opiates. Mm-hmm. And the third death most recently was my grandfather, which was just of old age, but, you know, and I think, with every death, it never gets easier. You know, I always say like in life, there's fixed points in life, right? Like love, heartbreak, job loss, job gains. But I just learning how to navigate that. I have to constantly remind myself, like, this is just part of life. So like, what is the next thing that I need to do to kind of just get myself out of it? And I think, just being, you know, like exposed and being in the world of sobriety, it's like you realize like no one is really like impervious to it. And it just really can hit anybody anytime. And so kind of drawing on strength from the first, you know, from the first death that I experienced and onward, it was just really like, okay, how can I stop thinking about myself? It's not about me. How can I show up for the family? How can I show up for like my friends who've also like this experience has also, you know, hurt and touched. So I think that's really what carried me through.
And did you ever join any or think about joining any grief counseling or grief support?
No, I was recommended to them. You know, for me, I did actually, you know what, I did do one group therapy one time. But I think for me personally, it was really hard because sometimes when you're talking too much about the grief, I didn't know how to cope. And I wasn't ready to completely share my feelings on it. I didn't know how I felt. I know it's been recommended to me plenty of times, like after the first death, by the time I got to the second, third death, I was like, I've got this, I have the recipe down. But I think it, you know, I think I did do individual one-on-one therapy. So I do like recommend that kind of, outside help of that sort, but I think for me, just, I don't know, I didn't feel the need to specifically hone in on the grief part, you know. Also sometimes that wasn't a helpful narrative for me. I think for me, like celebrating their life, and kind of trying to remember the good things and not as much focusing on like how to get through it. Like I kind of went with the current instead of against, if that makes sense. You know, I acknowledged the overwhelming feelings that I was going through, but I never really tried to say that I needed to like feel one way or another about it. And I kind of just tried to like say, okay, like I said, keeping it within the day was really like what helped me.
Right. But of course, you know, I mean, for those not in recovery, a grief support group might be really important. But of course, for people like us who are in recovery and go to meetings, that's mm-hmm. kind of, you know, that's your
100%.
And I was going to say, in a way,
like,
yeah,
absolutely. Like my group therapy probably came out in the form of like, you know, within meetings and 12-step programs. But I think ultimately it goes back to having a connection and a tether, you know, like, because mm-hmm. in those moments, it does feel so desolate and it feels so dark, but having a connection to outside people that can really pull you out, that can understand and, you know, like understand the same feelings that you're going through was really important. So, you know, 100%, if that wasn't an option, like I probably would have been more inclined to like do some like more like grief counseling. But I definitely, it was kind of like what I leaned to in the moment.
Great. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few seconds. So everybody stick with us.
Hi, I'm Sonia, the founder of Everbloom. We help you change your relationship with alcohol through connection and conversation. We provide small group meetings where you can share your story and get the encouragement and support you need to achieve your goals. Whatever your goals are, we're a judgment-free space. You can find us at joineverbloom.com, B-L-U-M-E, and try us out with a free meeting.
And we're back talking to Christina Ouyang and discussing surviving death in sobriety in recovery. And you know, and you just told us there's all the various ways that you got through those deaths. Do you think you would have survived them had you not been in recovery? Or I mean, of course, that's
no, hard. I think, no, because I would have 100% went back out and was using and drinking, mm-hmm. and that would have been my death. I truly, you know, till this day still believe that, because I think I wouldn't have had friends. I wouldn't have even thought about, you know, continuing, you know, individual one-on-one therapy. I wouldn't have known how to navigate like all these overwhelming feelings. And I think, you know, from my personal experience of just like when I'm in active use, like all I can focus in on is like, I don't want to feel the feelings that I'm going through. I don't want to be in my body. I don't want to connect to like reality at that moment. And I 100% gone a deeper, darker hole of just, what is my escape? This is my escape. So I 100% credit to, you know, I think it's so necessary. Like having a community and connection is really the only thing that I think got me through at the time. Mm-hmm.
So what advice would you give to our listeners going through a similar situation?
Even on days when you don't want to reach out, even on days when you don't want to answer, try to at least pick up one phone call, try to at least call one person. On days that you like don't want to eat and brush your teeth, try to just get out of bed. You know, I know, I think keeping things moving your feet. And I mean that like almost metaphorically as well. You know, I think trying to just bury it completely has never, you know, like in the beginning, I tried that a little bit, but it ends up compounding and right. It comes out in other ways, you know? And then just really staying connected and being open to allowing people to embrace you and like love you and show up for you, which I think, especially as an alcoholic and an addict, it's really, really hard. Like our default or my default is like isolate. I'm going to do it all on my own. But really like in those moments when you already feel so raw and so exposed, to continue pushing yourself to saying, okay, I'm going to like extend that vulnerability and that exposure just a little bit more, but this time it's going to be filled with a lot more love and a lot more comfort. So I think that would be like community, you know, one-on-one therapy or like group therapy, any type of grief counseling, Those are the two that really kept me.
Were you, well, first of all, what you said just now and then earlier about keeping moving, and both metaphorically and literally, you know, that just the act of doing something, brushing your teeth, folding laundry. And I mean, it's something I have to remind myself about, even, you know, if it's, even when I, you know, when I'm having moments of doubt about a creative project, or, you know, feelings of anger and resentment at a friend, rather than lying there and wallowing in it, you know, it just, the, just getting out of bed or getting up from the chair and, you know, and doing something, baking some cookies or, you know, going for a run can, you know, change all that. So that's great advice. And were you able to, in talking about your, what you were mentioning about putting yourself out there and being vulnerable, were you also able to find solace in helping somebody else?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it makes me stop thinking about my problem in the moment, you know, like reaching out. Even now, I have a really good friend recently that just lost her father, and it's, you know, when I'm not thinking about myself, I'm helping someone else. I stop thinking about like my own problems just for a little bit. So that definitely also, whether it be reaching out to even someone that's not in the program, I'm just asking someone how their day is. It gets me out of like my own thinking. And I think that's always been my worst enemy. Like being in my own thoughts can be very dangerous. It's a very dangerous place in my mind sometimes.
Bad neighborhood, right? I've heard.
Oh, a bad neighborhood. so that definitely, you know, I think that definitely, was something that I really also like leaned into. Yeah.
What does your life look like now? We can get off death for a little while, I think. What does your life look like? What's the biggest difference, other than the fact, of course, that you're not using and you're sober, before, recovery and after? In the last 3 years, 3+ years,
I have a level of soundness and serenity that I never ever had. So, like when I say serenity, I'm not saying like my day is all like rainbows and butterflies and like unicorns. Like life is still super lifey and it's so annoying, and my bosses still annoy me, and like work stresses and finances are still a thing. But I'm now just able to maneuver every problem, and I have this gift of like, okay, this is happening. This is not happening to you. It's happening right now. How can you manage this? Even when I'm like really angry, I'm really like, you know, all the hot feelings, I'm able to say like, okay, it's not going to be that bad. When I feel like when you've crawled through like the depths of hell trying to get sober, you know, you really on the other side, it's like, this is just one other problem and it's okay. It's going to be okay. You can get through this. You've done it. And that serenity is like something that I can't put a price on. I mean, I just celebrated my 35th birthday, and it was, and you know, normally that with birthday. Every other celebration in my life, it has to be, thank you. It has to be this big to do, right? But I'm like, you know what? I spent the day just with my dogs and having like such a peaceful day of, you know, watched movies and like had a great dinner. It was small and intimate. And that for me is something I can't put a price on, because I feel comfortable just being a little still. I feel comfortable just being, you know, like just being and not having to attribute like I need to be a high or a low. Yeah.
Oh, well, it sounds like you're in a great place. What is the best lesson you've learned in sobriety, and how did it help you?
The best lesson I've learned in sobriety. Oh my God, there's so many. I don't always have to answer right away, if that makes sense.
yes, that makes sense. I learned that lesson too, but go ahead.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's kind of an extension of pause. But for me, I don't always have to be so reactive. I can take the 30 seconds and I can sit on it for a second. Nothing, you know, this will sum it up. Does it need to be said by me? Does it need to be said right now? And does it need to be said at all? You know? And I think that is, I apply that to every aspect of my life, you know, whether it be relationship, job, friendship, family, because I really just carry that. And, you know, like I carry that thread throughout, because really, ultimately, it's always about life versus how I react to it. So, you know, if I'm able to kind of take that you know, a couple of seconds to really pause and then say, all right, like, what's my game plan here?
Right.
You know,
right.
It gives me like so much more of an advantage to be so reactive. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great lesson. And I learned it well, and I mean, I learned it also. And, it continues to serve me. Thank you so much, Christina Ouyang, for joining us today. And again, happy birthday. Your life looks really great these days, it sounds to me. And to all our listeners, thank you for your continued support. Visit us on soberpodcast.com and all places where you find major podcasts to leave us a review and sign up for our mailing list. You will also find the contact information in the show notes for our guest, Christina. I'm your host, Jamie Brickhouse. You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, where I tell a true story in high heels every day. Signing out from the Sober Podcast. Tune in for another show next week.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Sober Podcast. We hope that you have found this episode helpful and look forward to you joining us next time. As we continue to grow and implement positive change, we hope that you'll share our podcast with your friends and loved ones. They can find us on all the major podcast directories. If you have an idea for the show, want to leave positive feedback, ideas, or comments, connect with us on thesoberpodcast.com. You can also reach us on our social media platform on The Soberverse. We'd love to hear from you. A special thanks to all those who make this show happen. Jamie Brickhouse, our host, Carrie, our producer, Carl Fessenden, our voice, and our sponsor, The Sober Network.